Welcome to another edition of the Newsroom Insider podcast. I'm your host, Steve Buist, and today we have for you a special extended version of the podcast. Sit back and relax as I take you through the Spectator's Concussion Project, a unique collaboration with a team of six researchers from McMaster University that took more than 2 years to complete. Dr. Luciano Minuzzi is a clinical psychiatrist and a brain imaging expert at McMaster University and St. Joseph's Healthcare in Hamilton. He's also part of the Spectator's Concussion Project research team. Minuzzi had just finished his complicated analyses of brain scans from dozens of retired CFL football players and healthy volunteer subjects, and now it was time to look at the results. As Minuzzi performed his calculations, he was blind to the subject's identity, which is a key part of the scientific process. He didn't know if he was examining the brain of a retired player or a control subject. For each of the subjects, Minuzzi was analyzing the thickness of the brain's cortex, the thin outer shell of the cerebrum, where the bodies of billions and billions of nerve cells reside. It's also the part of the brain that smacks the inside of the skull during a concussion. When the results were unlocked, and Minuzzi was able to compare the retired players to the controls, he was stunned by what he saw. Everywhere he looked, it seemed, the cortex of the players, on average, was significantly thinner than it was for the controls. Whether it was the top of the brain, the front, the back, the sides, and even the inner surfaces down the middle. A thinning of the cortex is important because it suggests a substantial loss of nerve cells, supporting cells, or both. His first reaction?
So when you saw it, were you shocked?
I was shocked. So when I saw those images, I thought that, again, that must be wrong. I must have done something wrong, so that's why I did it five times.
Minuzzi analyzed each brain scan 5 times, and each time his results were confirmed. On average, more than 70% of the cortex showed significant thinning in the CFL players compared to the control subjects. That's a staggering amount of damage that has accumulated in the players over time. By comparison, Minuzzi said he might just see a few small spots of cortical thinning when he analyzes patients suffering from some types of brain disorders. The findings suggest the players, on average, have lost a significant number of nerve cells in the brain's cortex. Minuzzi said the cortical thinning experienced by the players are very, very strong results that we were not expecting.
We can see actually a global reduction in the size or the thickness of the cortex.
Right.
It's almost like seeing those brains of much older people. So they are not almost like they are not matching in terms of age. Or we are seeing a population who is suffering from neurodegenerative disorders such as dementia or something like that.
This was just one of the shocking results to come out of the Spectator's Concussion Project, which involved comprehensive testing of 22 retired CFL players and another 20 healthy men of similar ages with no history of concussions who acted as control subjects. Using a variety of sophisticated brain imaging tests, the goal of the project was to examine the long-term effects of concussions and repeated hits to the head suffered by former football players. This is believed to be the first study of its kind anywhere to report findings from living former football players using such a wide array of tests like MRI imaging and EEG recordings. The results are deeply disturbing and raise critical concerns about the long-term damage from concussions and the safety of football, a sport that is popular precisely because it is of its violent nature. In some cases, the results from former players were no different than the results that would be seen in coma patients. Brain images from some retired players in their 40s look like the images of men in their 80s, even 90s. "There's something really serious happening," said Minuzzi, a soft-spoken researcher who grew up in Brazil. Aside from the drastic thinning of the cerebral cortex, there were other shocking results. Compared to the healthy control subjects of similar ages, the retired players showed significant areas of difference in the bundles of nerve fibers that connect various parts of the brain, which suggests potential problems with how information is processed in the brain. We found sharply lower levels of electrical activity in the brain from EEG recordings, which supports the finding that nerve cells have been lost in the cortex. We found a tenfold increase of memory-related symptoms and a 4 times increase in depression symptoms. 16 of the 22 retired players reported some level of difficulties with memory. Only 2 of the 20 controls reported similar issues. 7 of the retired players showed some signs of depression, compared to none of the 20 controls.
Our brain is, in general, saying that it's very plastic and very resilient. So what happens is, especially if you are dealing with something that you get with long time, like chronically, our brain will try to do the best to adjust. So it is possible that if they don't have any symptom right now, that the brain is trying to compensate. But we don't know for how long, actually, that can happen.
Manuzzi was asked what he was thinking as he looked at the grim results from the brain scans of the retired players.
One of the first things that I started to think after looking at those images was exactly the gladiators, right, in the past, that people were cheering for, you know, that kind of someone to die,
yeah.
Right? So I was wondering if that's actually happening right now when we turn the TV on, that we are seeing people who are being exposed to actually something that is actually quite negative, right? That it would have actually, it would change their lives forever.
Another member of the Concussion Project's team is John Connolly, a McMaster University professor and the Senator William McMaster Chair in Cognitive Neuroscience. He is an expert in the area of concussions and EEG recordings of the brain. When Connolly saw results from some of the retired CFL players that looked no different than the results that would be obtained from coma patients, he was stupefied. His reaction was almost the same as Manuzzi's when he saw the cortical thinning results.
So when I looked at this, I didn't believe it. I started saying, so are you sure everything ran right? And it was really that shocking. You can have various theories as to what's going on, but it really means that they either cannot pay sustained attention, so they might show on one or two occasions, but then they just can't keep focused, and so they mentally miss some of these things. No, but it's really the truth. It sounds melodramatic almost, and in the coma you can understand the person's had a catastrophic brain injury of some description, and they simply are not processing things at that level anymore. But these are men that we tested that are living their lives. They probably all of them drove themselves here. Some of them are running businesses. So it leads to all sorts of questions of how do they do that? What are they doing? I'm not suggesting they're in a coma. Quite the contrary. They came in, we chatted to all of them and everything else. So what is it that's happened to them? And again, what you were saying, is this compensation? Are there ways that they're getting around this? I think there must be.
The disturbing differences found between the players and controls throughout the various forms of testing suggest strong evidence of a link between football, repeated hits to the head, and long-term effects on the brain. The findings raise very serious concerns about the future health prospects of former football players. What's most shocking is that it's been years, or even decades, since the retired players had suffered a concussion. In fact, a number of the players said they had never been diagnosed with a concussion over their entire careers. It seems that their brains are already very fragile, said Manuzzi. Mike Noseworthy is an MRI brain imaging expert at McMaster, and he's also part of the Concussion Project's research team. He too was shocked by the results.
Players we've looked at with who knows how many hits, who knows how many concussive hits or subconcussive hits, I think that it's pretty striking and clear that the damage has never been repaired. It was shocking to the point where I myself, who played a lot of contact hockey in my years, started to think, oh my goodness, you know, like, do I want to run my own brain? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because do I want to even know about my own? It's shocking.
Noseworthy was asked if there's any chance the players' results aren't connected to football. No, this is football, Noseworthy said. That's the common denominator. Hamilton's own Mike Morreale spent 12 seasons as a receiver in the CFL, most of them with his hometown Tiger Cats. That's 216 regular season games, and he never missed one of them. Game in, game out, Morreale always knew what was expected of him when he stepped on the field. His job was to grab the tough yards, get the first downs, and take the big hits in the middle of the field. Over his career, Morreale says he was never diagnosed with a single concussion, which seems astonishing. Now that he can look back on his career, how many concussions does he think he suffered?
But I can tell you, knowing what a concussion is now, or what they define it as, that I would have had one every game. Every game.
Every game?
Every game I would have seen stars. Every game I would have had lightheadedness. Every game I would have had an issue for a few plays after a big hit in the huddle. So that was the norm. It was called, you either got your bell rung, or you got a stinger, or you got, whatever the term was. But to the defense of the medical staff or what have you, I also didn't go and tell them either.
Yeah.
So I just thought it's part of the game. That's what happens. And so I never missed a game my whole career. So add them up. That's 200 plus. So there's many times that probably 30 to 40 games in my career that I probably shouldn't have played, but I did. Not all related to head trauma, but just in general, you have that. You have to be invincible. And I was always scared of somebody else taking my job, to be honest with you. And that's the culture that existed in sports. And perhaps, I'm sure it still exists, but maybe not at the same level, because now we talk more openly about head trauma and concussions and, there's defined, concussion protocols. Yeah, I think of it now when I see it in live, like back to my previous point, when I see the action live and think, oh my God, that was me? What the hell was I thinking? But I loved it. And if I could line up again today, I'd love to do it. I'd last one play. One hit, I'd be out. I'll tell you right now, it wouldn't take much. Knock me out.
Retired players who took part in the project have reacted with a mix of shock and unease at the disturbing results. Most, however, also acknowledged they weren't surprised. Former Argo Dan Ferrone, who played 12 seasons as an offensive lineman, said the results are, quote, conclusive proof that football does have an impact on your brain matter. I think a lot of guys probably know they have damage, added Ferrone, now 59 years old. They're just not aware of how bad that damage is. In addition to his 12 years playing professional football, Ferrone also played another 9 years of high school and university football. That's a lot of abuse, he said. Ferrone said he was diagnosed with one or two concussions during his career, but now suspects in hindsight he may have suffered as many as 10 concussions. That's not unusual, given the findings of a joint Harvard-Boston University study published in 2015. In a survey of 730 U.S. collegiate football players over one season, the study showed that for every one diagnosed concussion, there were 26 potential concussions that went unreported or undiagnosed. People wanted to see train wrecks. People paid to see train wrecks, said Ben Zambiazzi, a Hall of Fame linebacker for the Tiger Cats during the 1980s. Bob McDonald, an offensive lineman with Calgary and Hamilton in the early 1990s, admits he now wonders, "What have I done?" My job was to smash guys as hard as I can, said McDonald, now a teacher at Saltfleet Secondary School. So I never really gave it that much thought for a long time. When I was growing up, he said, I never thought about impact and inertia and the brain flipping and flopping. You just think, I'm wearing equipment, I'm safe. Mike Morreale said the results were a big eye-opener for him.
Because I've always been of the mindset that concussions were part of playing football. And I accepted that responsibility. And I'm fine with that responsibility, and I still am, because I knew what I was getting into. To suggest that I didn't know that taking hits to the head would affect me is kind of like saying, you know, it's a bit of a lie.
To learn more about the Spectator's Concussion Project, visit thespec.com. For the Newsroom Insider podcast, I'm Steve Buist. Thanks for listening.